Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
It's a great honor to be here tonight, and I thank the Lord for Pastor Chappell. I thank the Lord for the Lancaster Baptist Church, and I thank the Lord for West Coast Baptist College. And great things are taking place here and across this country and the world because of this place. And I thank the Lord for what He's doing. I was thinking back as I was preparing for tonight to my days in Bible college. And when I approached my last semester, I only lacked two classes. And so I went to my college president on the advice of my brother, and I asked him, I said, listen, I have two classes left for this last semester. What would you recommend that I do? And so he recommended for that last semester that I take all master's classes and save those two classes for the summer. And so I did that. I took all master's classes, and I marched lacking two classes. And so I went home, and I took those two classes in a local college. And I remember going and enrolling for that college. I only needed, I don't remember, maybe four credits or something like that. And I went in, and the only two classes I could take were a college history class, a U.S. history class, and a college algebra class. And to be quite honest with you, I wasn't really excited about the algebra class. It was a five-hour class. It met 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. And it was three concepts a day they covered in that class, and that was my least favorite subject. And it really went from bad to worse, because when I received my first test grades back, my first two tests were D's and my third test was an F. And I remember going to the teacher and I said, sir, listen, I've already marched with my class. I really want to graduate. I need to pass this class. I'd really like to pass it with a B. What would you recommend that I do? Well, he looked at me and he said, Tim, what you need to do is this. When you do your homework at night, I want you to start doing double the homework. If I give you the odds, I want you to do the odds and the evens. I want you to do all of it. And so I took that homework home. I took that challenge to heart. I began to do all of that work. I began to work diligently with everything I had in me to pass that class. And I can remember one day we were in class. It was near the end of the class session. And the teacher walked up to the chalkboard and he drew out this huge math problem on the board. And he looked at the class, and the class had dwindled down from a start of about 70 students. We think we finished with 18. And he looked at us and he said, listen, I've taught you this semester, and I've taught you the keys to solving problems like this one. And I want to know now if you've paid attention. I want to know now if you've listened. I want to know now if you can solve this problem. And I remember I got to work on that problem. I got my pen out and pencil and start working, and I'm telling you right now, it was a Red Sea miracle. I had the problem on my paper. It worked. I went through it again. It worked again. I raised my hand. I was so excited about it. I looked around. I was the only one done, so I thought, you know, maybe not. But I raised my hand anyway, and he called me up and said, Tim, I want you to come to the front, and I want you to do that problem on the board for us. So I walked up there, and here I was, you know, with two D's and an F, my first three tests. Very skeptical of whether I really had the answer right, but I'd paid attention, I'd worked hard, I listened very carefully for the keys that he'd shared with us, and I worked that problem out on the board. I was so excited. I'd paid heed, I'd listened to what he'd given us, I'd finally realized the keys to what he was trying to teach me, and I finished the class with a B. I was so excited. I saved my book. I kept that book, and I wanted to look at that book, realizing that since I listened, since I paid attention, since I understood the key, I was able to pass that class. You say, well, that's an interesting story. What's the point? Well, imagine if you could meet Jesus Christ face to face tonight and have him answer one question. Any question that you might have, but just one. What would your question be? Maybe your question would be, Lord, what is your plan for my life? Maybe your question would be, Lord, where do you want me to serve you? Maybe your question would be, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to serve you. Would you just reveal to me how I'm going to be able to serve you? Well, in Mark chapter 12, one of the teachers of the law had his chance. He had his opportunity to ask Jesus that question. The Bible says he arrived on the scene and he saw Jesus debating with the Jewish leaders, and he was impressed with the way Jesus was answering their questions. He was watching and he was listening, the Bible says, and he was more than a little interested in what Jesus had to say. And as he listened to what was taking place that day, he determined to come to Jesus with his question. He determined to come to Jesus with that question that had stumped him, with that question that he had pondered in his heart, that question that he just could not come up with an answer for. The Word of God puts it this way. Look in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 28. The Bible says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?'" Of all the commandments found in the Word of God, of the hundreds of commandments found in Scripture, which is the greatest? Which is the most important? Which is the first commandment of all? In other words, Lord, what matters most to you? Lord, what are your top priorities? Lord, which of the commandments is the top priority to you and should be the top priority to me? And Jesus Christ looked at that man and he gave him a straight and clear reply to that question. He gave an answer that each of us tonight would do well to pay heed to. An answer that would help us as we face the problems of life. An answer that would help us as we face the questions of life. An answer that would help us as we leave this place. And Jesus answered him, Mark 12, 29, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" To think of that. Over 800 commandments, I've been told, in the pages of the Word of God. But when you narrow them down, you have two basic commandments. Two basic principles that God wants us to pay heed to. Two basic commandments that God wants us to follow. It's very simple. Love God and love people. You see, the Word of God makes it very clear that God wants us to love Him. In fact, Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You see, God tells us that He wants us to love Him, but He goes beyond that. Once He tells us He wants us to love Him, He then gives us some very specific details. The Bible says God wants us to love Him with all of our heart. Throughout the Word of God, the word for heart encompasses the physical, the emotional, the spiritual life of human beings. The heart is the very source of our feelings. It's the very source of our emotions. Feelings like joy and like sorrow and like despair and happiness and cheerfulness. They're all said to originate in the heart. And to love God with all of our hearts means that we are going to love God deeply. It means we're going to love God personally. As A.W. Tozer said, we are called to an everlasting preoccupation with God. To love God wholeheartedly means that we must be convinced. We must be absolutely convinced that our only happiness is found in God and in God alone. You see, if I look to God to supply only half of my happiness, I can only love God with half of my heart. And God doesn't want me to love Him with half of my heart. God wants me to love Him with all of my heart. And so the question we need to ask ourselves tonight is a very simple one. Do we really love God with all of our hearts? And I know tonight we'd say, well, hey, Pastor Tim, sure we do. Yes, I love God with all my heart. But I believe before we need to answer, we need to ask ourselves some more questions. You see, there are some steps that we can take to ensure, to assure, that we are devoting all of our hearts to a loving Almighty God. We can and we should examine our hearts. And when we examine our hearts, what we want to do tonight is we want to be able to see our hearts as God sees them. Even if it disturbs us. Even if it makes us feel uncomfortable. Even if we're not sure we want to look, we need to ask ourselves some questions. And let me begin with this. Do we consistently choose God over things? Do we consistently choose God over possessions? Do we consistently choose God over people? Do we long to be with Him? Do we allow God's priorities to take precedence in our lives? Are we willing to sacrifice other valuable things to please God? Do we think about Him regularly? Do we arrange our life around Him, or do we arrange Him around our life? Is He our most sacred treasure? Do we obey His commands? Do we choose worldly things over Him? Is He really preeminent in our lives? I want to ask you tonight, what if we discover tonight that we really don't love God as He wants us to love Him? That we really don't love Him with everything that we have in us. That we really don't love Him with all of our hearts. Do you not believe tonight that we should surrender our hearts to Him? He's worthy. If we have not loved Him as He would that we love Him, we can give up and quit. We can fall down and just lie there in despair. But that's not the response that God's looking for. That's not what God wants from you, and that's not what God wants from me. If I am not tonight where God would have me to be tonight, I should fall at the feet of Jesus. I should ask Him to forgive me for not valuing the most valuable treasure in my life. I should ask God to forgive me for not obeying His commands, for not following Him. Then I should throw myself at His feet and say, Lord, I want to love You. Lord, I want to spend time with You. Lord, I want to walk with You. Lord, I want to know You like You want me to know You. We need to surrender our hearts to Him. And whenever we find our hearts going in the wrong direction, as a song says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We need to stop and say, God, I want to surrender my heart to You. I want to surrender my heart to Your will. I want to surrender my heart to Your direction. I want to surrender my heart to Your desires for my life. You see, that's what Jesus Christ was talking about when He said He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. To love Him with all of our heart. By the way, we should protect our heart, shouldn't we? Too often, we take care of things with the Lord and we try to make things right with the Lord and we try to keep our hearts clean before the Lord. But too often, they get cluttered up, don't they? We find things there in our lives that maybe should not be there, in our hearts that should not be there, or maybe good things that pile up and they keep God from being preeminent in our lives. Oh, we need to guard our hearts. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the most important step we can take without question is to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I'm so thankful that I trusted Jesus Christ. I grew up in a pastor's home. I went to a Christian school. I graduated from a Christian school. I went to a Bible college and graduated from the Bible college. I taught in that Christian college for 4 years before I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. On May 13, 1990, I'm so thankful that night I knelt on my knee at an altar in a church and I prayed and I said, God, I need You in my heart. I don't want to just make another prayer. God, I don't want to just make another decision. God, I want life change. I want You to change my life. I want You to save my soul. I want You to save me. But once we've trusted Him, once we know that we're saved, how imperative it is that we spend time with Him. How imperative it is that we spend time in His Word. How imperative it is that we walk with God and spend time with Him. Here's the question. Do we love Him with all of our hearts? But God wants more. God wants us to love Him with all of our soul. The soul refers to the entire life of a person. Perhaps the best way to understand this is to know that your soul is both who and what you are. We're talking about the inner man, his powers of choice, his powers of reason. So when Jesus tells us that God wants us to love Him with all of our soul, what it means is making a deep down conscious commitment to love God with everything that we have in us. The point is that when it comes to loving God, there needs to be a deep inner resolve. There needs to be a deep purpose to keep on loving God, to keep on being faithful to God, no matter what. Do we love Him with all of our soul? You think of Daniel, the Bible says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He just wanted to please God. He just wanted to honor God. He had just made up his mind that he wanted to go God's way. He wanted to honor God. God help us to do the same. But God wants us to love him with all of our mind. The mind is a center for intellectual activity. It's where we do all of our thinking and learning. When you love someone, you don't just want to know the peripheral things. You want to know that person inside and out. What do they like? What do they dislike? What is it that makes them happy? What is it that makes them unhappy? And so you focus your mind on getting to know the one you love a little bit better. And Jesus Christ is making it clear in this passage of Scripture. That's what we need to do with God. That's why God gave us the Bible. The Bible tells us who God is. It tells us what God is like. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church, to get to know God. You see, a person who's going to love God like God wants him to love him is going to learn as much about God as he possibly can. I'm not talking about spending a few minutes to squeeze God into my day. We're talking about realizing the great importance of regular quality time with God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. God wants us to love him with all of our heart. He wants us to love him with all of our soul. He wants us to love him with all of our mind, but he wants us to love him with all of our strength. You see, biblical Christianity is more than a heart full of passion. It's more than a soul full of faith. It's more than a mind full of knowledge. Biblical Christianity needs to be lived out in our lives. You see, to love God with all of your strength is to love God in everything that you do. And if I love God like God wants me to love him, it's going to be evident in the way I live my life. It's going to be evident in the way I conduct my business. It's going to be evident in the way I function on my job. It's going to be evident in the way I interact with people. It's going to be evident in the way I treat the house of God. It's going to be evident in every single area of my life. James 1:22 says we to be doers of the word. Christianity becomes powerful when it's lived out. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And you see, when we put all of that together, it begins to explode with significance. Jesus is essentially saying to us that he wants us to love him with all of ourself, with every fiber of our being, with everything that we have in us. God wants us to love him. And please understand, as we draw near to God, he draws nearer to us. And as we learn to love him more, he opens our hearts to an even greater love. God wants you to love him. He wants you to really, truly love him. He does not want to be prominent. He wants to be preeminent. But the second key to this text is God not only wants us to love him, God wants us to love people. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This commandment too comes from the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You see, God says very simply, if you love me, I want you to love those people that I love. I want you to love others. You see, loving God means loving people. And when I love people, it means I'm willing to go out of my way. It means I'm willing to rearrange my schedule. It means I'm willing to use my time. It means I'm willing to use my resources to help others. 1 John 3:18 makes it very clear. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So what can I do to demonstrate the love of God to those around me? Well, the greatest thing I can do is tell them how they can know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus saves. And what a great opportunity, what a great responsibility we have to tell everyone we possibly can, by any means we possibly can, Jesus saves. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, I'm a nobody. But I'm a whosoever. And thank the Lord that whosoever will may come. The Bible says, by this shall I know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Not just the lovable, but the unlovely. In other words, those that can't offer you anything. God wants us to love them. Not just the lovable, but even those that don't treat you well. You say, well, what exactly is love? I mean, what exactly is he talking about here? Well, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, it doth not behave itself unseemly, it seeketh not her own, it's not easily provoked, it thinketh no evil, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, it rejoiceth in the truth, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. What a standard! You say, well, that's a pretty tall order. But it's exactly what God's calling us to. God wants us to love others. And that is exactly what West Coast Baptist College is all about. Sending forth laborers into the harvest. To tell people about Jesus Christ. Listen, with all of our hearts, we should strive and desire with everything that we have in us to do something noteworthy with our lives. To do something that counts. To do something that matters. To do something that impacts eternity. And when we tell someone about Jesus Christ and when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, what a joy that is. And it surely impacts eternity for them. God wants us to love Him, but God wants us to love others. But I had a third thought that I want to share with you too. God wants us to love those things that He loves. You see, you've already considered that God wants us to love other people. Thank the Lord, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. But God wants us to love the things that He loves. You say, well, what exactly does God love? God wants us to love the Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God wants us to delight in that book. Oh, I'm going to read it today and check off what I've got to read. I'll do my chapter for the day. No, listen, God wants us to delight in it. To long for it. To long to spend time in it, to look forward to the time that we can spend in the Word of God. I'm talking about studying it. I'm talking about memorizing it. I'm talking about meditating upon it. And I'm talking about doing everything we can to live it. On June 25th, 1876, General Custer led the 7th Cavalry to the single greatest defeat in American military history. His 250-plus men were slaughtered at Little Bighorn, Montana. What you may not know is that General Custer had at least two, and some say four, of the brand new Gatling guns, the earliest form of machine gun. He had them available to him. He had plenty of ammunition available to him. But as he headed toward Little Bighorn, he decided not to take those guns. He said, they'll slow me down. I won't get there fast enough with those guns. They'll slow down my troops. And what a difference those Gatling guns would have made that day. Surely, machine guns would have been the great equalizer in that battle where Custer and his men were so vastly outnumbered. But he chose not to take the guns along. Could I ask you tonight, what are you going to do with the Word of God? Leave it behind? Or take it along? How important it is. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, God has glorified His Word above His very name. We need to spend time in His Word. Jesus said it very clearly. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God also wants us to love His church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He gave Himself for the church. I thought so often of what took place that day on Calvary and what Christ went through. So unbelievably painful, they had to come up with a new word to describe what took place on the cross. Excruciating. From the cross. He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. And God wants us to love the church too. You say, well, Pastor, how exactly do I demonstrate my love for the church? Well, by attending faithfully is a great place to start. Let's not look for a way out. Let's look for a way in. By supporting it with our time and talents. By inviting others to it. By praying for it. By praying for the leadership of the church. I love the church. I love going to church. I love being at church. I love being around God's people. I love being around the Word of God. And well, we should. God loves the church. And tonight I want to plead with you. Let's purpose tonight. That tonight and tomorrow and every tomorrow after that, let's purpose to have a great commitment to the great commandment that we're going to love God with everything that we have in us, that we're going to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And then tonight, let's add, let's love those things that God loves. One day we'll either say, I thank God that I did, or I wish to God that I had. For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest of these, it might have been. Which will it be? You say, well, you know, I've made that commitment before. What a great time to reaffirm it in our hearts. Say, you know what? I just want to love God. I just want to be faithful to God. I just want to live for God. I just want to please God. I can't do everything, but I'll do what I can do to please Him. He is worthy. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. And God, I pray that I tonight, that each of us tonight would reaffirm in our hearts a commitment to love You with everything that we have in us. To love You with all of our heart. To love You with all of our soul. To love You with all of our mind. To love You with all of our strength. And God, help us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And help us to love those things that You love. I pray that tonight there be purposes that be made in our hearts and lives that would last for the rest of our lifetimes. To not make You prominent, but that You might be preeminent in our hearts, in our lives. That in everything we do, we would strive, we would purpose to glorify You. And to lift high the name of Jesus Christ. We pray these things tonight in Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word. 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.